Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Well, I'm still amazed that we even have an intro like that. Once again, if you're not watching the video, you know, Rob's doing some fancy thing where we have the video come in and play in front of us. Anyway, it's pretty sweet. Welcome back to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. It's your host, Jordan, joined by Rob, Dan, and a special guest from Barstool Sports, Captain Cons. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Awesome, man. Cons, thank you very much for coming on. Glad that we got the technology working. I'm fired up, man. I can't wait to beat the shit out of these Zoomies. God, I hope they win 50-0.
So, as a paratrooper for a majority of my career, I was a soft spot for the Air Force because anytime I needed to go someplace, they always gave me a ride.
I'm doing excellent. I mean, what's not to like about right now, where our team is playing, the weather forecast for Saturday looks ideal for those of us that are going to be there in person. It's a pleasure to join you guys, as always, so thank you very much for the invite. I am happy to be here and excited to talk about Army football and this game against the community college out in Colorado Springs.
Absolutely. Well, hey, just, you know, if you are living under a rock and not paying attention to Army sports, we're 7-0, still off to our best start since 1996. Pretty good week as far as bye weeks go. Rose two spots in both polls after Navy and some other ranked teams got beat. Now we're number 21 in both the AP and the coaches poll. Cons, how are you feeling? As someone who watches a lot of college football, you know, I would probably consider you part of like the national media establishment. Like, how are you feeling about this Army season so far beyond just, okay, we're winning, things are going good?
It's nice. Because in the past years where we've had some success, it's tended to come at the end of the year when people finally pick their heads up and they're like, oh, that Army team, they're not that bad. I mean, we've had some nice years in recent memory. Game against Oklahoma comes to mind, but nobody saw that, right? And now we're doing things on a national stage and beyond just our games that are being played on various networks, CBS Sports, ESPN, we have a lot of national exposure with different broadcasts, with different shows, podcasts. I mean, it seems like I've seen Coach Monken on every show, and not just like, you know, our regional shows that cover Army football. We're talking national syndicated shows. Sure. And it's just really nice to get the respect that I think we deserve, right? And it's always a good time to not lose, right? And the thing that I've said, it's been very easy thus far, knock on wood, it's been a very easy season in terms of viewing and watching these games. Mm-hmm. At no point has there been a lump in my throat, just weight on my chest, like what is going to happen in this game. Every game, by and large, has been, you could tell, like, even before the scores have gotten out of hand, you could tell pretty early on, like, oh, I think we might do pretty well today. So from all those standpoints, it's pretty great. And certainly the individual accolades for Bryson Daly, it's nice to see him having a nice season and continuously giving credit to everybody else except himself. So overall, amazing.
Absolutely. Rob, Dan, anything to add on that?
No, man. Like I said, I'm just happy to be here. Can't wait to kick the crap out of these Zoomies. Like, I'm literally itching. I can't wait.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's always great to give it back to those guys because they're such a classy organization on most days. And so anytime you have a coach that doesn't want to, you know, shake at the end of a game, like, let's give him a reason not to. Let's hang 100 on him so he has a reason to kind of go pout in the corner once it's over.
Is there, like, just – I know we all hate Navy. I get it. it's there. It's understood. Is there like a part of you that might hate Air Force a little more than we hate Navy?
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah. Like, you kind of hate them in a different way, right?
I've always described the mids as like cordial enemies. Like, you know, it's a duel at dawn, but it's a duel at dawn where you shake beforehand, you know, like, yes, good sir, I am meeting you to duel to the death. Air Force, it's like hiding out behind the dumpster with a club.
Yeah. I mean, I have a real quick story, and I think it just embodies, excuse me, everything that Air Force football and their program is about, and that is being pompous punks. My senior year, 2005, we went out there, we won, and we hadn't won out there since 1978. But during the game, one of their players took a swing at my position coach. A play came to the sidelines, he popped up, and my position coach went to grab our guy and, you know, like pick him up off the ground. I don't know why, but the Air Force player took a swing at our coach. So, I mean, that should tell you everything you need to know about this program. And, oh, by the way, let's take a look at the last 7 years of this rivalry, right? And it's been lopsided in Army's favor, but we still have these boneheaded Air Force people who want to talk about 30 years ago. Great, dude. I don't care. I live in the now, and right now we are a much better program than you. And I think, that bothers them.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, Cons, that story is interesting because a lot of people say, you know, Calhoun's the problem. Well, he became the head coach in 2007. So that incident was before he even got there. And I know he's a product of that environment and stuff like that. But that's kind of wild. You'd never see
that. Well, he's an extension, right? Because he played under Fisher DeBerry, who was the coach in 05. So I think it's just that's been the attitude there at Air Force for a long time.
Yeah. That's unfortunate. But you know what's not that unfortunate? Getting good real estate advice from Josh and Bradley,
who's our sponsor. Yes, it's rubbing off.
PCS into Fort Liberty, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn's a veteran who spent her Army career in logistics. Therefore, she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream homes when they're in the market. And she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. She's decided to support us at Ask for Football this season, and she's the right person to get you into the home of your dreams. Jocelyn also has an extended network of veteran realtors who can support you if you're moving somewhere else in the country. So if you're in the market for a home, Jocelyn should be your first call. Guys, even if you're not moving specifically to Liberty, you still need a realtor you can trust. Jocelyn makes recommendations. It won't cost you anything. Reach out and let her put you in touch with someone with the actual integrity, unlike the folks at the Air Force Academy. So,
no. Hey, listen, let's be clear. Jocelyn will 100% work with you if you are at the Air Force Academy. Let's we can hate them all the we want, but we do have to have our sponsors get their bills paid.
Fair enough, Dan.
sorry to be the wet blanket.
No, it's fine. That's a kind of expected from you at this point. Cons, we've obviously had you on the show before, and I know you have a show over at Barstool, but every show is somebody's first. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself, company, major, branch, you know, why we would want you on the show and any other relevant details?
Yeah, sure. I started out at West Point in July of 2002, and I was in company F4 to start, right? No, E4. Excuse me. Jeez. That's how long it's been. That's how long it's been. I messed that up. It was E4 to start. And then Yuck Year got scrambled to C3, which back then was the Fighting Cox. And I don't think it's the Cox anymore because I guess someone decided that was offensive.
I think they're the Coyotes now, or at least they when I was there.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a porcelain cock rooster somewhere in my house. I don't know where it is right now. Sorry.
Your wife lets you keep that in the house?
Yes, but not anywhere that's prominently displayed. It's just there for me.
Okay, good to know.
I did law and systems engineering, branched FA. I was fortunate enough to stick around as a graduate assistant on the football team. I played football lettered my senior year. And the great part about sticking around for that grad assistant year is I was just forced to spend hours and hours and hours in the film room. So that's where I really feel like my knowledge of the game and just looking at it from a completely different lens changed from even from when I was a player. So that was an enjoyable year spent there with the football team, and then, you know, just went on and did my Army service from there. And now I'm just a regular old civilian. As you mentioned, I got the Zero Blog 30 podcast there, Barstool Sports, my co-hosts Chaps and Kate, two Marines, enlisted outnumbered Marines. Yes, I am outnumbered over there by the enlisted folks. But I tend to hold my own as the sole officer on the show. And we've been doing that for over 8 years now. So been going at it for quite a bit. And I would say more so than a lot of people I know, I just still live, breathe, die Army football. And, you know, I try to stay as close to the program as possible. I'm, you know, pretty well connected to former players from different generations, just through our Army football club, our former letter winners club that we have there. And that's been really cool to get to know guys from the 80s and 90s. That I otherwise would not have crossed paths with, just from an age standpoint.
Sure.
And you know, friendly with some of the coaches on staff now, just really live, breathe, and die, as I said, with Army football, and really take pride in the fact that I call myself an Army football player. Although I will say to anybody listening, you know, don't bother looking up my stats. You're not going to find anything too wild that's jumping off the page, because they don't keep stats for the holders, unfortunately. Although I will tell you, I never muffed a single snap in any of
that's my a stat attempts in and of itself right there.
Yeah,
I definitely think of you as like one of the public faces of Army football. I don't know if I've ever asked you this. Where else did you look? What other schools? I mean, it's honestly hard to imagine you going somewhere else, but
yeah,
you know, we were all 17 at one point.
Right, right, right. And I, you know, I just wanted to play college ball somewhere. You know, just given my my height, my ability, my speed, I was like a you know, a Patriot League, Ivy League guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, a handful of those schools were looking at me. A handful of Atlantic 10 schools. You know, at the Division I level, it was Rutgers. Pitt showed a little bit of interest, but mostly just Rutgers. And then Army. And I had 5 visits lined up. I think I've told you that before. I took my first visit was to Army, and I was like, I don't need to take all those others. I just, like so many people who go on recruiting visits, they just say like, I don't know, I just felt something. And that's what I did. So that's why I ended up at West Point.
You realize that you just met your people, for better or worse.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Something just clicked, and the attitude and the aura, as the kids are saying these days around the place, really resonated with me.
So it's weird to me, because I know you just turned 40 and you're definitely a full adult, married, kid, mortgage, all that stuff, but you still seem weird to me. Did you have like high school highlight tapes back in the day? I mean, how soon do we need to start looking for your daughter playing sports? Like, do you think this is going to carry over to the next generation?
Gosh, I mean, I hope so. Yeah. I mean, but I'm old enough now, you know, having just turned 40, that my highlight tape was on a VHS, and my coach had to like take multiple VHSs and splice it together. It was just a brand new thing starting to come about, where that got transferred to a CD.
Remember
what a CD was. And you'd mail those out, as opposed to now, where it's just everybody's got a huddle link that makes it very easy for recruiting and to share your tape. But I did take my highlight tape, I don't know, a year or 2 years ago, and someone put a Backstreet Boys song to it. So that's nice. Floating around the internet. If you want to,
that's amazing. Oh, yeah. I totally want to see it. Oh man.
I'll have to find that link. But you know, everybody I've talked to, my buddies who have children, who have gotten into sports, have all said, and you know, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, they're going to get into, for the most part, things that you present to them and not force them into it. But if you put, you know, a soccer ball in front of your daughter, she has a better chance to gravitate towards soccer as opposed to just discovering it on her own. So I hope my daughter discovers sports. My wife played sports through high school. So I would not imagine that she won't be introduced to it at some point. Now, if she decides she doesn't want to play sports, I mean, that's fine too. There's plenty of other activities she can get involved in. But I think I'd have a lot better time sitting at a soccer game or a softball game versus a dance recital. Nothing against dance, but that's just
so my dad was the center of his high school football team, walked on to the cross country team at the University of Tennessee, could drive a golf ball 300 yards and could play volleyball, you know, at the semi-pro level because he was 6'5". So of course that meant that I swam and played water polo and then eventually got into triathlon. So my kids went into dance and sailing.
Yeah, I mean, no rhyme or reason. Right?
Yeah, just left turn after left turn. So yeah. Sailing is actually awesome. Dance, I mean, you really have to just love it. But anyway, you
love your child.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, last question before we'll kind of turn the page, but favorite memory from your time playing as a cadet?
I was thinking about this and really, I mentioned the one, certainly beating Air Force my first year in 2005 out there after having, you know, not beaten them, you know, at all in a while. And certainly not out there since the 70s. That was a big deal. And a lot of fun because my parents, you know, were there when my one sister was there. So it was a very fun plane ride home. And then the other good memory, I was on another podcast by one of my classmates, Matt Wang, who's doing this like anthology series for
that's a good one.
2006 leading into our 20 year anniversary.
Yeah, or, good idea.
Reunion rather. And I talked to him about going to STAP, and my class was the first of the football players that started going to STAP voluntarily to get something knocked out to lighten the course load during the football season. And I think that's a pretty mandatory thing now, or highly encouraged. And that was the time at West Point where it kind of felt like we were relatively normal because, you know, you went to, I don't know if any of you guys went to STAT, but you went to, you know, breakfast formation, you went to breakfast, you went to one class and it lasted for, I don't remember, maybe 2.5-3 hours, something like that, basically the whole morning. But then that was it for the day in terms of, you know, West Point and school responsibilities. And we would just go up to the stadium and spend the entire afternoon at the stadium into the evening. And then on the weekends, we could leave. Everybody had passed on the weekends so long as you weren't in trouble. So I always had really good, fun memories from STAP. You know, I think some people think summer school. No, that stinks to go to school in the summer. We were going to school, as you guys know, obviously, like felt like we were going to school year-round anyway. So like, what's 3 extra weeks? And it ensured that we had those 3 weeks to, you know, kind of let loose in the evenings and certainly get away on the weekend. So it actually ended up being a great time. So those two things really stick out as a football player.
That's interesting. They definitely did not like encourage STAP back in the day. I told you, you know, I went to airborne school and did all the Army stuff, which, don't get me wrong, is definitely why I went to West Point. But if you're going to go up there and swim now, like, that's not the experience that you're having. Mm-hmm. By any means. So, So Army looked good this year. What is different? I get asked this all the time. So what do you tell people?
I think the most obvious answer is the offense, because I mean, if you look at our defense, the last few years, our defense has been fairly consistent. I mean, Coach Woody, the last 5 years, and you know, Coach Bateman before that, like they put a pretty consistent, and I'll give Coach Woody the credit right now. He's put a consistent product. The players' names have changed, but by and large, we've had a very stout defense. So you have to call out the fact that we went back to an offense that better suited our players. And certainly the switch of offensive coordinators and Cody Worley calling the games, I think that's a major factor. And then I think, you know, early on this year, our ability to win those first few games gave us the requisite confidence to really ratchet it up a notch, right?
Yeah.
Where you're not like, oh, those were just kind of fluky games. It was like, no, we have a solid squad. And I think, as you guys all know, like with sports in general, when you have confidence, gosh, that really becomes such like a superpower that it really just changes how things break, how you play, your attitude. And I think in changing the offense too, it allowed us to be more consistent. And I think that was the problem last year where we were doing something that it was almost like if you were asked to run a marathon, but you were told, I'm not going to give you any water, any, you know, goo, or any help during the marathon. Just go run a marathon. And that's what we did to ourselves last year. It's like, hey, you're going to run this offense and you have all these great players, because we have a lot of the same players.
Yeah.
But we weren't, you know, playing to our full potential, because we were putting ourselves at a disadvantage just running that offense. And just by the sheer style of it, it never allowed us to kind of like get going in any of the games. It never felt like we were in any sort of rhythm. So you switch that to what we're doing this year. Certainly score on the first drive of every game puts us in the driver's seat right from jump street. And I think each game has built more and more momentum. And then if you want to talk specifically, I think when you have a quarterback who has a lot of experience under his belt at this point, and then you add into that the confidence that you gain from winning, from playing well, from leading your teammates and seeing them respond well to that leadership. It's not, he's just not in the huddle or on the sidelines barking for the sake of it. You can tell these guys react well to him. So I think you put all of that together, and I think that's what we're seeing manifest itself on the field right now.
All right. So we talked about this a little bit up in the lots, kind of similar question before the Army Lehigh game. But I told you I thought we were maybe six plays away from going 8-4 last year, maybe even 9-3 and getting to a bowl game. If that had happened, like, is that good or bad? Do you think the Black Knights would have transitioned back to the flex bone if they go 8-4 last year playing a bowl game?
See, what's great about this question is I don't think there's a wrong answer. Because it's a complete hypothetical. And what I'm going to say is I'm going to give Coach Monken the benefit of the doubt here, because I think he wasn't blind. Like, I agree.
Yeah.
We one or two plays from at least two more wins.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I can tell you exactly which plays I think it was, but you know.
Yeah. And I mean, to think that we could have won 9 is not a stretch either.
Yeah.
I don't think he was blind to the fact that we were almost doing that in spite of ourselves.
Okay.
And again, I think our defense largely kept us in a lot of those games.
Yeah.
And we had the players that would sometimes get going and make plays, but we weren't able to do it with any sort of consistency. So I still think that even had we eked out a few more wins, we as fans now would have enjoyed that. Although, you know, last year, the way it ended up and the fact that we won the CIC, like, yeah, we didn't go to a bowl game, but I still felt like,
Yeah. Notwithstanding getting soaked in the rain twice at Mikey Stadium.
Yeah, as compared to this year, where it's just been sunny skies thus far. But yeah, no, I don't think it would have impacted. I'd like to think that those changes still would have happened, because I don't think it was working. And I give Coach Monken a lot of credit. I think he would have seen that, or he did see that, and he still would have made the change that he did.
So did you travel with the team to Air Force last year?
No, I did not. I watched on TV like everybody else.
Oh, man. Too bad. All right. Yeah. Okay. Two more questions. I'm going to give you a chance to talk bad about Navy. They got shellacked. Yeah. You think they turn it around, or are they going to burn in? You think Blake got hurt? We were talking about this on yesterday's show.
I think so, because he looked like his thumb was banged up on his throwing hand.
Yeah.
And again, I'm telling you, that goes right here. Right?
Yeah,
it goes right up to your head. You start thinking about your thumb, and oh, as a quarterback, you think like, ugh, that feels weird on the ball. My finger feels weird. As soon as you start having those thoughts, it's no different than I can relate it now to, you know, so many people play golf recreationally. As soon as all those negative thoughts start creeping in your head, what happens? You hit a dribble, you know.
Chunk, yeah.
You mash your drive, you know, 280 down the center of the fairway, and then you're like, oh man, don't chunk this chip. What do you do?
Chunk it. Yeah.
So I think that's what's happening with him, maybe a little bit. And honestly, like, I don't want to say I feel bad, but I mean, you just saw that game unraveling from the very beginning. You just saw the confidence that they had going into that game just evaporate very quickly when they. When you have mistakes like that and mistakes turn into points, then the style of that offense and our offense for that matter. Well, actually, I don't know if I would compare our offense to theirs, but the style of their offense, I don't know that they felt like they had the weapons and the ability to get back into that game when they were down 3 scores in a hurry.
Yeah.
So I was going to actually ask you guys, like, were you happy to see them get shellacked like that? Or would you have preferred it to be a close game and still see them lose? But
so maybe, this has been an ongoing point of debate in the Firstie club. So most of us in the club feel like Navy being good has, I don't want to say it's been bad for Army, but it's been frustrating because it's like Army is very good and everybody says Army and Navy. Every time you just can't mention one without the other. And most of us think that's frustrating. But there's at least one of the guys in the Firstie club has said, listen, there's a reason why all the shoemakers are on the same street in the city. You know, if you want shoes, that's where you go. So I'm interested to see what happens in the next couple of weeks if Army continues to get pressed, particularly if Navy drops another game, which, you know, Forvath's thumb is hurt. That would be unfortunate. I mean, I was looking forward to a high leverage Army Navy game, and that probably is what we'll get. But
I think it didn't
suck to watch them struggle.
Yeah, right. For sure. But I think you make a great point. I think they'll go as far as Forvath can go. If he's not 100%, they could. I don't know that they're going to just like do an Air Force like last year and just completely not win another game and fall off. But it'll be interesting to see. But I was happy to see that they got beat as badly as they did. I can't say that I wasn't enjoying that.
Yeah. All right. So I have a note here about asking about this weekend's contest, but I think I'm going to save that until we actually preview the game. So, Jordan, you want to take us back through Fact or Fiction from last week?
Let's do it. So wasn't an Army game. So we did Fact or Fiction a little differently. We had the team call who they thought was going to win a couple games. So BYU, UCF, BYU won. Rob and Dan were correct. A&M, LSU, A&M won. Rob again. Boise, UNLV, Boise won. Rob again. And then Navy, Notre Dame. The team unanimously said Notre Dame, and Notre Dame crushed Navy 51-14. Rob won. He went 4-0. So, Rob, congrats on winning Fact or Fiction last week.
Yeah.
A couple scheduling notes. Army at North Texas will be at 3:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2. This is the last game on the schedule to get a time slot. That also means that Army has at least 3 and maybe 4 games on network TV this season. Just one more game on CBS Sports, which, you know, once again, great visibility for the program. Air Force at Mikey this week, noon CBS. Army at North Texas, 3:30 ESPN2. Army Notre Dame, Yankee Stadium, November 23rd, 7 p.m. on NBC. UTSA at Mikey, noon CBS Sports. AAC Championship is scheduled for Friday, December 6th, 8 p.m. on ABC. And then Army Navy at Commander Stadium in Landover, Maryland, starting at 3 p.m. Eastern, December 14th on CBS. So we are definitely getting into the meat of the schedule, have some primetime networks that we'll be on, which is fantastic as always. Speaking of doing well in the primetime, Dan, tell us about Craig Oxane, our sponsor, who's the VP of Residential Lending at New American Funding.
Well, friends, you heard the start of that. Craig Oxane sponsors this show as he has for the past couple of years. He is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. He is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. Craig is going to offer you super competitive rates, which is important because the mortgage process is super confusing. Interest rates are moving all around all over the place, and they tell you, well, you can lock in if you want to, but I'm not saying that you should. And then they shove 2 inches of paper in front of you to read and then sign. It is exceptionally stressful. And it's just not the time that you want to deal with somebody who doesn't give a crap about you. You don't want to deal with some call center, some random big box bank, mindless website, you know, get a mortgage from china.com. Like, this is not the time to do that when you're trying to, you know, buy a damn house. And friends, this is how the West Point network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football, and we're trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the very man that you need to meet. Plus, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That's a huge savings, like $1,300. Get that money, friends. So Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending at New American Funding. His link is on our website. Just go to askforfootball.com, click the little business card, fill out a little questionnaire. You'll be talking to Craig in a couple of hours. It could not be easier. And I'm telling you, he gives 5-star service to everyone.
Dan, I know you write this script. I love Like, I can tell what lines you're proud of that you write, because, you know, sometimes you skip over things. Other times you say the exactly what you wrote. That $1,300, get that money, friends. You always say that word for word every time.
Hey, listen, you know? if $1,300 is not so much money that you can just piss it away, like, I got uses for it, man.
No, me too. I would love $1,300. I'm just saying.
All right.
Anyway, all right, let's talk Air Force. So Air Force has started the season 1-6. In fact, since the Army game last year at Mile High Stadium in Denver, the Zoomies have gone 2-9. Only wins have come in a bowl game versus JMU and in a close contest against FCS Merrimack to start the season. When they beat JMU, JMU had just lost their coach, three of the best players in the transfer portal, including the safety who announced that he wouldn't play literally minutes before kickoff. Air Force has a really young and inexperienced team this year, but even so, they've lost some games that they probably should have won. Wyoming was 1-4, beat Air Force. New Mexico was 2-5, beat Air Force. Colorado State beat them for the first time in 22 years. And it's honestly kind of hard to believe that Troy Calhoun could be on the hot seat. But even against modest expectations, this year's Air Force team has underperformed. I saw some back and forth, you know, some shots being fired between, Troy and Brian Newberry down at Navy. And, you know, Air Force kept a lot of their seniors through COVID, and they had a lot of people who were at the Air Force Academy who were able to go home for a semester and came back and played last year. And that's arguably one of the reasons why they were so good. They had a very old team. And this year, they have a much younger team and a lot of people who this is their first time starting a collegiate football game. So I think that's definitely kind of playing into this. But like we said, they're really kind of underperforming expectations at this point.
Let me stop you there, Jordan. You've played seven games. Are you still a rookie? I mean, at what point is that not an excuse anymore? Seven games.
Yes, fair.
These are juniors now, juniors and seniors.
Yeah. I don't disagree.
How many new players does Army have on defense?
Do what?
How many new players does Army have on defense?
A bunch.
It's eight.
I thought it was nine.
Yeah. Hey, I'm raising my hand. And the other part of it is these kids are supposed to be fighter pilots in the future, some of them, right? So if you can do like advanced physics, you should be able to figure out how to, you know, move a football from one point of the field to the other. Just my thoughts. Back to the outline.
That's coming from the guy who jumps out of a perfectly good airplane for fun. So
yeah, true.
Just saying. Dan, offensively, I would like to say what have they been doing, but they haven't been doing much. So I guess what haven't they been doing?
Yeah, they've been on the struggle bus this year. It's still the triple option, but they're averaging less than 200 yards rushing per game on less than 4 yards per carry, which is abysmal on both fronts if you're trying to run the triple. They have just 11 rushing touchdowns all season. I mean, hell, we've almost seen Army put that up in one game. Averaging less than 300 yards of total offense, good for 127th in the FBS. 4.41 yards per play is the third worst in the entire FBS. 4.4 yards per play is like a really, really horrible. By comparison, Army has averaged 7.4 yards per play. So it's like, in terms of things that you would compare, that is a massive, I mean, truly massive differential. Quarterback John Busha is a junior. He has not been great. 29 of 79 passing. That is 36.7% for 415 yards, one touchdown, five picks, six sacks. He's also got 78 carries for 172 yards, a whopping 2.2 yards per carry. Granted, there's a lot of sack yardage in there. He's got one rushing touchdown. I think we might see sophomore quarterback Quentin Hayes this week. That would be kind of a typical Zoomy move for this game, in my opinion, pick out a new quarterback. Hayes has played in four games this season, all losses, 10 of 14 passing for 201 yards, 71% accuracy, which is pretty good. One touchdown, no picks, three sacks. That's just a better stat line all the way around. Also got 32 carries for 124 yards, about 4 yards per carry. He's got a touchdown. A wide receiver, Cade Harris, actually leads the team in rushing, which is insane because he must have broken free on a couple of pitch plays, averaging about 5.6 yards per carry, four rushing touchdowns. He's also got 14 catches. Fullbacks Terrence Gist and Kemper Hodges collectively have 48 carries for 187 yards. I mean, you're just going through these stats. Not only are they bad, but there's not very many of them telling you that these guys just haven't even had the ball that much, which is wild if you think about what this team is trying to accomplish.
Yeah, that's kind of scary. And it, maybe not scary, maybe a little sad. I don't know. Rob, defense?
Yeah, so on to the defense. Probably the biggest change this year is Air Force rushing defense. They're just not good either. They're usually pretty stout against the run, but this year they're allowing 193.7 yards per game. That's about 5.1 yards per carry. That's 118th in FBS. I don't think we've ever seen Air Force play defense this badly. I mean, maybe in 2017, but they were also not that great that year either. Not related, their team's biggest defensive tackle is junior Aiden Schwartz, and he's 6'4", 275. I mean, that's small for him to be the biggest defensive lineman, you know, and so that puts you at a disadvantage. That's very off-brand for Air Force. They usually have some big dudes on their defensive line. Like, their nose tackle is usually like a, you know, 280, 290-pound kid that's blowing up the quarterback center exchange every other play. Four of the team's top tacklers are defensive backs. You know my thought on that, and I think everybody knows it's obvious. Again, we've never seen that from the Zoomies. Safety Camby Goff leads the team in tackles with 40. He's got 20 solo and a forced fumble. Linebackers Azario Ahi has 37 tackles, 20 solo, one sack, and two fumble recoveries. And DBs Jamari Bellamy, Trey Williams, and Lincoln Tutoi Mariner top out the top five tacklers. The one thing this team has been doing well this season is forcing fumbles. You know, so they have 11 forced fumbles with 8 recovered. They have one interception, and they're still at -1 on their turnover margin. Like, that's pretty rough. Like, when you're getting the ball loose that often and still not getting it back, that's pretty bad. That's really incredible considering that their offense has thrown 6 interceptions, has lost 4 fumbles. So the bottom line is, you know, defense is on the field way too much. The offense is on the field, and when they are on the field, they're not holding on to the ball. Not a recipe for success.
Yeah, and then on special teams, place kicker Matthew DePore, 11 for 11 extra points, 4 of 7 on field goals, long of 43, 2 misses from 40-plus. Luke Freer has seen a lot of action as the punter this season. 4 punts versus Colorado State, 2 inside the 20, hit a long of 57 against New Mexico. Air Force also gave up a punt return touchdown against New Mexico, which you hate to see it. Betting line opened Army -23, hasn't moved a ton, over under 41.5. Weather lows in the mid 30s, but it should get kind of sunny and mid 50s by game time. Always warm in the sun down by the field, and it should be a great day for college football. Cons, all that. I know we've been talking for 37 minutes on Air Force. What do you think is going to happen? What's your take on the game?
So I think the prevailing thought or comment that I've seen is how it's eerily similar to last season when Air Force came in ranked, getting a lot of press, and Army was 2-6 and essentially ruined their program by taking their souls. I mean, the game wasn't even close. The game, I think it ended up being 23-3 if memory serves.
Yeah.
It wasn't that close. And people typically, I would think, oh, it's a rivalry game, especially in service academies. That could happen again. I just don't see that happening to Army this year. I think, again, this goes back to we're not just winning football games, right? We are playing so well that our starters have barely seen the fourth quarter this year. We have young guys, you know, that are getting serious snaps in the game, not like, you know, 3 snaps on the last drive, like legitimate time.
And scoring points.
Yeah, I was just going to say our backup quarterback has been putting up, you know, respectable numbers for the snaps he's got. Heck, our third string quarterback has seen the field. So I just think given how well we are playing right now, and more so than that, you know, I think the thing that Coach Monken and his entire staff does so well is mentally prepare these guys for these games each week. And also, listen, if you're 18 to 22 and the entire world and social media is telling you how great you are, you obviously can't ignore that, right?
Yeah.
But then to not ignore it, but okay, then compartmentalize it and still come out and do your job, I think that's a testament to Coach Monken. It's a testament to these coaches on both sides of the ball. These kids, when I see them on TV and when I've seen them in person, they don't seem like the type of kids to say, hey, look at me pounding my chest. Like, look how great I am. They all seem like they have something to prove every week. Like every week, it seems like everyone is trying to win their job. And that's an amazing attitude to take into this game. And I think, quite frankly, I don't think Coach Monken has a lot of respect for Coach Calhoun. He'll never say that publicly, so I'll say it for him. I don't think he likes the guy.
No,
I think Troy Calhoun has left a sour taste in a lot of guys' mouths, especially around the service academies, in terms of how his teams carry themselves and things that have been said, things that former players that I see how they talk on social media. So I think Coach Monken would like nothing more than to just really put it to them and put this game out of question early. And then the other thing I would say, when you have, and I unfortunately come from experience with this, but when you have a lopsided service academy game, that's just not a good sign. So for the fact that Air Force really just got blown out by Navy, I don't think bodes well for this game on Saturday, because Army is better than Navy. I will say that right here, right now. I'll put my flag in the ground. Army is better than Navy. Army is tougher than Navy. So when I watched that game, it looked like Air Force didn't want to be there by about the second, maybe third quarter. And I just think we're going to come out and punch them in the mouth right away. And I anticipate, listen, why am I going to expect anything than what they've shown me all year to this point? It's not like we've shown glimpses in a couple games where we've played really well. We've played very consistent all seven games. And that is in spite of all the national media attention. And it's, excuse me, in spite of, you know, the accolades and the gaudy numbers that guys are having on both sides of the ball. So, you know, put your faith in the coaches, put your faith in these kids that they're mentally going to be there. And we might send Air Force home with a broken plane.
Nice. Rob, do you agree with all that?
Yeah. So the first thing that I'll say is like Air Force is a bad team. Like they are objectively bad. Like if you know nothing about college football and somebody says, hey, watch the Air Force Academy play football this season, it's not good. Like people are like, why would you want to watch this? How is this enjoyable? Because they're just not playing well. I see a significant lack of physicality at the Air Force Academy this year. Like if you watch that Navy game, guys were going down on the first contact. There were no yards after catch. Nobody was fighting for that extra yard or doing that. You know, somebody's got to lead that. Like if your starting quarterback is going down on first contact, then what are the running backs going to do? What are the wide receivers going to do? And if the offensive line is not creating opportunity, like I expect a very, very physical game from the Army side, and they're going to put it on them from the very, very beginning. I expect to see a lot of tackle for loss and hurries this week, probably some sacks as well. Wouldn't be surprised if we get a defensive score just because Air Force will put the ball on the turf. But the other part of it is like, doggone it, I think for the first time in a while, it is fun to be an Army football player and it's fun to be an Army football fan. So you can sit back and just enjoy the game because everything is executing on all cylinders, offense, defense, and special teams. Yeah, there's an occasional hiccup there that is going to go horribly in films for that one particular individual when they watch him back. But as a whole, this season, it's just been impressive to watch. And as a fan of the team, we should probably just sit back and enjoy it. And particularly when you get to have fun beating up on your rival, it makes it that much better.
Dano?
Yeah. You know, it's a service academy rivalry game, so you want to throw the record books out the window. And if you saw Coach Monken's press conference today, like he was very much all about that. But I agree with Rob, man. Air Force isn't going to suddenly become somebody that they haven't been all season. Like, that's not how this is going to work. And we haven't really seen that in the history of this rivalry over the last 10 years or so. I am quite sure that they would like to spoil Army's season the way that Army spoiled theirs last year. I mean, if that's not what if they haven't spent the whole week talking about that, I'd be shocked. However, there is no force on earth that is going to stop their nose tackle from giving up 30 pounds to Brady Small. And Brady Small just spent seven games pushing around nose tackles that are way bigger than that. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, like that cons to your point, you know, rivalry game, you'd expect it to be close. Wasn't close when Navy played them. So you would, if you extrapolate a little bit, it's, and I catch myself, you know, reliving the 2015 season, the 2016 season, you know, and like, this is not that team anymore. Like the Cardiac Cadets have not made an appearance this year, which is fantastic. So it, just looking at it on paper, you take the emotions out of it, you take the history out of it, and it's like, holy crap, Army's going to beat the hell out of them. But we'll see what happens on Saturday.
And I mean, again, just one other point about paying attention, and thanks to Mr. Moretzky there, made a great point, how disciplined Army is this year. You know, again, knock on wood, we're one of the least penalized teams in the country. We have one of the best turnover ratios in the country. So, you know, when you're not making those sorts of mistakes, it's hard for another team that is inferior to you. Again, looking at it on paper, Air Force is the inferior team.
Yeah.
So for them to come in and spoil our season, a lot of things have to go well for them, and we have to make a lot of uncharacteristic mistakes. And I think that goes back to what I've said earlier, is the culture that's been created around the Army football program, that is cultivated and then monitored closely by this coaching staff all the way up to Coach Monken. I don't know. I don't see that going poorly for us. Certainly, if they, you know, kickoff, I'll have those butterflies. We'll see how long they last. They haven't been lasting that long this year.
That's true. That's true. I mean, when we march down the field on that first drive every game, it's like, okay, this feels pretty good.
Yeah, this is working.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, this is going to be a bonehead thing. You're going to be like, yeah, of course, dude. But that's been one of the best parts about this season, that stat of scored on every first possession.
Yeah.
What does that put you at ease?
When was the last time that happened? Yeah.
You can almost see the opposing team and their body language, just like, oh shit, these guys really are that good.
Oh, I mean, you know, Daniel, you were there for East Carolina, and obviously I know what the score was at the final, you know, again, second and third string kids in there, but you could see after some of those touchdowns that the sideline of East Carolina.
Yeah.
And
I mean, and that's a good team. I mean, they have a lot of expectations. I don't think that they suck at all. I think that team is pretty good. So, anyway.
Yeah. Right, hey, well, let's do a little fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
Rob, you're leading us off.
All right. So Army has 5 tackles behind the line of scrimmage, either tackles for loss or sacks. Fact or fiction?
Give me fact for that one.
Yeah, that's an easy fact.
Yeah. I don't know if that's easy, but I think they've been getting about that many. That's been par for the course lately.
Yeah. I mean, and the reason why I said the combo, because if I would have said 5 sacks, I would say no. I would say fiction.
I mean, I don't even know if you're going to see 5 passes from Air Force. That would be a tremendous number of sacks in a rival in a service academy game.
Yeah, but Army has been getting after in the backfield, so I think it'll be fact as well. So we got fact agreement on that one.
Dano?
I said fullback Jake Rendina carries for at least 50 yards on Saturday. And I will say that happens in one of two ways. Either they're up and they want to run the 4-minute drill with somebody besides Kanye Udo because got North Texas in a week, or because Air Force is a little undersized, so they bring in the big guy and just let him pound away at it.
I'll think fact.
Okay.
Because also I think that kid's due for a nice little
absolutely.
Game. You know, he has some numbers.
Yeah, I've been underwhelmed isn't the right word, but you know, he hasn't fully kind of done it yet.
Well, but where I will give him a lot of credit is he's done a lot of great things that don't show up in a stat sheet.
Yeah.
Go back and watch the tape.
Yeah, and that goes right into the same reason why I'm going to say fiction, because he is a much better blocker than he is a runner. It's like having a 256 pound tackle in the backfield. And like, if you said he was going to get 50 pancakes this game, absolutely 100% fact. But I think he's a much better blocker than he is a runner. Not to say that he can't run, but I think he prefers to, you know, hit somebody in the mouth and put them on their ass.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Rob, I'm going to take fiction with you for the exact same reason.
You're screwing me up here. I had you down as fact in the damn outline.
Sorry. Cons, what do you got?
I'm not going to take credit for this one, but someone tweeted at me earlier today. Will Bryson Daly have more touchdowns than Air Force has points?
Oof. Ooh.
Ooh. That's,
you know what? There's a decent chance. I've been thinking this for a while that if there's a game where you might expect to see a shutout, it is in fact this game.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking like you don't need to see 8 touchdowns out of Bryson for this one to be fact.
Yeah.
Geez, I'm still going to say fiction. I'm sorry.
You know what? I was pessimistic on the last one. I'll be optimistic on this one. Fact.
I'll go fact as well. And, you know, I had a chance to just catch Bryson running off the field after East Carolina. And, man, I just like how he carries himself. He really is a leader. He's humble, says all the right things, and not just says all the right things in his interviews. Genuinely, to me, I don't know him super well. Seems like he actually means them. He's not just, you know, giving you the answers that sound well or sound good on tape. I think he genuinely cares. So just a lot of faith in that kid.
Jordan?
I'm going to say fiction to cons with, you know, Daly has more touchdowns. But I will ask, Army wins by at least 4 touchdowns.
See, four. So this game sets up pretty similarly to 2017. Like, it reminds me of that a lot, with the exception that in 2017, Air Force had a good quarterback who had a bad day, and now they have just a terrible team. But that game still finished 21-0. I mean, it was a complete blowout, but 21-0. I mean, it was just. So 4 touchdowns is a lot in a Service Academy rivalry game. So I guess I'm going to say fiction, but I wouldn't be surprised if this one hits.
Yeah, I'll say fiction, but it would be nice, you know, and not to, I think really what it is, I think the shutout is probably more likely than a 4 touchdown win.
I'll just continue being the eternal optimist that I am, and I'll say fact. And again, I think it's a collection of different things. It's a myriad of different reasons as to why. But I think the biggest being, I think Coach Monken enjoys making a statement, and just like he made a statement against East Carolina, the way you were talking about, Dano, I think in that, leading up to that game, I think he wants to make a statement.
The statement's getting sent. You know, Tulane's been making some statements too. Yeah. I mean, they you sort of have to make those statements right now in the American Conference.
Right. But more so just as it relates to Service Academy football, it's so important in the recruiting game because it's no secret that Army, Air Force, and Navy go after a lot of the same kids. And it's a great recruiting tool when you can say, hey, did you see us beat Air Force 48-0. I know you're thinking about going to Air Force, but why would you do that? You know? So I think that's very much top of mind for Coach Monken.
Okay.
That's one of the reasons I'll go fact. Cause if he has an opportunity to do it, but also let's say our backups get in the game, as we've said, like our backups, I think are still better than a lot of their kids. I'm saying a lot of things that God, I might regret, but I don't think I will.
Yeah, I think there's, like we've kind of talked about, some bad blood between old Uncle Jeff and Troy. So Jordan, I think Monken
fiction on this one, since we're keeping score.
Yeah.
Fact or fiction? Right, hey,
go ahead. What?
Fact or fiction, Jordan?
Fact. I said fact. I said it 3 times.
I missed it. Sorry. I am old.
I know. Your battery probably went out. I get it. Hey, well, Dan spent some time reviewing our metrics this week and learned some things. One, Astro Football is growing, especially with the written content. Two, a lot of folks read our stuff on Fridays when they get the weekly mailer. And finally, folks who like Astro Football really like Astro Football. If that's you and you'd like to help us grow, we got a couple ways you can. The easiest thing you can do is forward our weekly mailer to your friends who also like Army football. If you're online and you like Army, you've probably seen our stuff. The challenge is reaching the vast majority of folks who aren't on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, whatever it is. those folks might like Ask for Football if only they knew we existed. So if you could forward that mailer to those friends, you know, Cons was talking, guys, it's 70, 80, you know, those kind of classes who might not be on Facebook, we'd really appreciate it. If you haven't signed up for our mailing list, we'd appreciate that as well. And if you know you like Ask for Football, you want more, consider joining us on Patreon. We give our patrons extra written articles, early access to shows, and even our Firsty Club for top-level patrons. If you're listening to this, thank you very much for your support. We cannot do this without you. With that, favorite thing, Cons, I think, do you have a favorite thing or is this Rob's?
No, I wrote that because something that Rob said kind of really resonated with me. And, you know, I think there's a lot of things that you could say here as your favorite thing. There's just a laundry list of things that you could really like about Army this year. But what I really like in terms of what he was talking about, Jake Rendina and blocking, it seems to me from an outsider's perspective, everybody on this team is, I won't say content, I'll say excited to play their role, right?
Yeah.
Rendina is not like, hey, why am I not scoring more touchdowns? He seems like he loves just mashing you in the face and taking, you know, pride out of you, you know, and obviously Bryson Daly has scored a bunch of touchdowns. It doesn't seem when he comes to the sideline, like other guys, like should have called my number. Seems like everybody is excited to play their role. And I think when you have a super unselfish team that is not only unselfish, but also genuinely gets happy and excited for their boys when they're doing well, like watch these guys come to the sideline and love each other up. Last game, and I should have checked this. I forgot he was the special teams player of the game, but according to the team. But he made a tackle on one of the kickoffs. He came to the sideline. 25 guys must have mobbed him to give him a high five on that tackle. That's not stuff you see from teams that aren't going to succeed. So my favorite thing is just the camaraderie and the fact that, you know, I think a lot of times when you're dealing with young kids, being a role player can be tough. Everybody, you know, wants the spotlight. Everybody, it's no secret that, you know, you were all like the best at one point in your life. Mm. So you want to continue to be the best. Well, as you go up that pyramid, there's only so much room, right, for the best. So you got to be excited to play your role. And I think we got a lot of guys who are excited to play their role, and they don't care about if their name gets mentioned in the newspaper.
Absolutely. Well, when Army beats the crap out of Air Force, everyone's going to be in the newspaper. So thank you for joining us for this week's Ask for Football Army Football Show. Go Army, beat Air Force.
Beat them.
Beat them.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Big thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate, for supporting us and the Long Gray Line. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, reach out to Jocelyn. She's got your back. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share the show with your friends. And as always, beat Nate.